It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 349, entitled Unpleasant Clumping. It was recorded on Monday, the 22nd of September, 2025. My name's Nathan Rigby, and today I am joined by three guests. I'm joined briefly by Dave Gray, but also I am joined for the entirety of the episode by Tammy Lister and by Tim Nash. It is a WordPress podcast, and so guess what? We talk a lot about WordPress, but we talk about some other things as well. So, for example, we talk about, well, with Tammy, who is very much a part of it, the new core program team. What does that do? What are the intentions of it, and how will it work going forward? We also spend quite a bit of time talking about Notebook LM. Tim brings this to the table, and it's a fascinating chat about a product and an LLM's UI. How does it work, and why was it designed in such a way? We also talk about the new WordPress hosting team annual survey. It's been done in the past, but now it's being done again, and hopefully it will offer up some results which the entire community can use. We also talk about WordCamp Canada and a new workshop day which has been added in. The Yoast Care Fund has been decided, and we talk about who is the recipient this time around. 6 websites a minute. That is something that used to impress Matt Mullenweg, but now WordPress.com is adding 3 websites every 10 seconds or thereabouts. We talk about the scale of the web and how WordPress.com is helping that, and also maybe the role of spammers in setting up all those websites. We also talk about GoDaddy's new AI Aero Builder, and then the Debug Hawk. It's a new plugin, a new SaaS in the WordPress space to help you optimize your website. And then we get into a whole load of silliness, particularly the Ig Nobel Prizes and how you too ought to be painting your cows like a zebra. It's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. And by Bluehost. Redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud, managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And by Omnisend. Do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend, the email and SMS tool that helps you make 73 bucks for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try Omnisend today at omnisend.com. Hello there. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, depending on where you are in the world. It is the 349th episode of This Week in WordPress, which means that I have listened to that song 349 times. And honestly, enough now. It's 2 minutes of purgatory. I really do need to change that music. Never mind. You can see that I'm joined by a lovely panel. Firstly, I would just like to say she was going to be joining us today, and a few of the social posts that I put out there said that that was going to be the case, but not feeling too great. So she's having a week off. So as you'll find in a moment, we're being joined by Dave instead, but I'm going to go around the other panelists, and then we'll come to Dave toward the end. So firstly, let's go to Tammy Lister. Hello, how are you, Tammy?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, good. Tammy has written me something called a tanker. Mm-hmm. I don't know what a tanker is.
A different paced version of kind of poetry.
Is it like a haiku?
We always say haiku. It's just a different version.
Okay. Well, I'll read. I'll read the short bio, which is only one line. So this is Tammy Lister's bio: product engineer and tinkerer, drinks tea, pokes things, and is the co-founder of Gildenburg, And the tanker, which was created by AI, goes like this. Tea fuel experiments. Designer's mind explores code. Open source pathways. Binary short thoughts take new shape. Art and engineering merge. That's very profound. How lovely. Yeah, that's really nice. And AI did that for you.
Yeah, I put in all my sites and then asked AI to do it in that format.
Distilled all of that into just five don't get me started on AI, Tammy. We're going to talk a little bit about it later. Tammy is very AI, as you may know. I'm somewhat
this
skeptical.
Isn't me. This is an AI.
Okay, well, thank you for joining us. I really appreciate it. If indeed it is you, we'll find out.
It is me.
I'll be seeing you in a couple of days, so I'll be able to decide if it's you.
Hopefully.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And there is Tim Nash. Hello, Tim.
Hello, I am definitely...
Yeah, he's certainly real. It was kind of weird. I don't know if you guys can see, but because I'm the sort of person running the show, I can see all of your images in the big screen, but I can also see a little version of them all underneath. And whilst the two-minute news it was running, Tim went and I don't know what he did. He sort of paced around his room a little bit. Tim, the weirdest thing happened. There was like your legs went missing. I don't know. I don't know what...
I am totally a human being. I am not with AI.
He is real. He put me, bless him. Tim wrote a little play that we were going to have to recite. Tim likes to give us fun, interesting bios, and he'd written a little play, but it involved Michelle. And as Michelle's not here, that fun will have to wait for another time. So Tim Nash's bio has been distilled into a more regular one. And it goes like this. Tim Nash is a WordPress security consultant, a professional doom speaker, and you can find out more about him at timnash.co.uk. He also teaches WordPress security at wpsecurity101.com. Just before I get to Dave, you're not very busy this week, are you, Tim? There's not a lot going on.
No, I'm having a nice chill week. You know,
yeah, nothing.
As someone who is famous for basically never leaving his house, I thought I'd just carry that tradition through on this week, and I'm totally not going to be. I'm already on the road. That's why my background has changed. So there's no.
How are you? You out of the house, as it were?
Yeah, okay. That's why the secret background had changed.
He's in a secret government location that he's not allowed to disclose.
It's a bunker.
It's literally a bunker.
That's exactly a bunker.
They've gone and hidden me down here, extracting all the secrets, and then they're going to let me out though on Wednesday because they're going to let me come down to London to listen to Tammy.
So that was the first thing I was going to mention. So luckily, this is a really nice WordPress week if you live in the UK. Well, especially if you live in the sort of southeast or can get to the southeast. There's a lot going on. So if you are not in the UK, just skip forward a few seconds if you're listening to this as a podcast episode, because it might not matter to you. But there's a couple of things happening. The first thing is that WPLDN, which is normally on a Thursday, it would have been on this Thursday, but we've scooted it forward one day so that it doesn't collide with LoopConf. So you've got a jam-packed itinerary. If you want to come and join us at WPLDN, it's happening on Wednesday. If you want to go to LoopConf, my understanding is that there are still some tickets available. And if you use the coupon code WPLDN, then I think that's 50% off. I'm not sure. I don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure that's 50% off the original price. Whether they're still available, I don't know. So you could really have a nice time. Come and join us at WPLDN. Spend the next day, LoopConf. And also, we're going to be hanging out at the WPLDN venue from 2 o'clock on Wednesday. So if you're a bit of a loose end and your train gets in earlier and you want to just hang out, come and join us there. And then we're all out on the Friday morning at the pub, getting breakfast and things like that.
So I won't be at the pub because by that point I'm on an aeroplane.
Where are you going?
So I'm going off to Poland.
I'm into the unpronounceable word camp that I can never say. What is it? Gdynia or something?
Gdynia.
Oh, out of the blue, I get it right.
Great.
And are you speaking?
I am. Reese Wynn very kindly got his sister-in-law to send me a voice message with the pronunciation. And of course, I've been trying to say it back to myself and then listen to it, and then I can't get the pronunciation. So that wasn't perfect by any stretch, but it's roughly that.
But you're Wednesday WPLDN, Thursday you're LoopCon, Friday you're getting on a plane, and Saturday you're doing Gdynia, and then you're going to go back to your house and never emerge. You're going to hibernate, hedgehog style.
So Saturday I'm doing a talk on a panel, and then I'm literally the Saturday evening getting on a plane to come home.
It keeps you busy, this WordPress, doesn't it? So if you're in Europe, come and join us. Come on.
Yeah.
Indeed. Okay, I'll get to the comments in a moment, but I should say a great big thank you to Dave Gray, who's over there. I have a list of people who have offered to come on this show at very late notice. And I emailed that list about an hour and a bit ago, and Dave was very kind to say that he could join us. He's got kid sort of collection from school duty, so at some point he's just going to wave goodbye and disappear, but hopefully he'll be able to stay for a proportioned show. But thank you. And with that, he's away. Yeah. That would have been great. That comedy gold. That would have been so good if you had actually disappeared. Dave, you're going to have to do your own bio because we didn't get one written down. So just tell us a little bit about
the episode
you.
Messages in case someone else overwrote them.
Oh, thank you. Okay. So let me see if I can find it. Episode messages. Here we go. Right. Here we go. Dave hasn't released any new plugins since his last appearance. This is on Dave. What are you thinking? But has launched a new partner program for his administrator toolkit to help grow awareness of it and figure out how to market it. So you can find that. What's the URL for the best
administratortoolkit.com.
Administratortoolkit.com. No, wptoolkit.com, right? If memory serves. I couldn't hear your first bit.
No, administratortoolkit.com.
Administratortoolkit.com. Sorry, your audio.
No WPs in that. I'm being agnostic.
No WPs, administratortoolkit.com. Well, anyway, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. A few bits of housekeeping. Well, I guess, first of all, we should come to the bits and pieces that anybody's saying. Very nice to have you with us. The guilty party, Reese Wynn, there he is. He will be, he's there, says there. Anyway, pink hand waving. Hello, hello, hello. Dave Dunn is joining us. Afternoon, everyone. Hopefully he'll be joining us as well in WPLDN. That would be nice. Gosh, it's WPLDN all the way down. Courtney Robertson, she's normally in the US. Well, she is in the US. I don't know, maybe she's on a plane now. She's going to be joining us at WPLDN as well. This is great. Patricia, hello, everyone. I hope you're all doing fine. Yes, we are. It'd be nice if you came along as well. Lawrence, he's in Australia. It's somewhat doubtful if Lawrence is going to make it. Tim's doing his best. Judith Chalmers impression. I don't get that. Who was Judith? Oh, was that some sort of holiday show back in the day?
Yes.
Judith Chalmers. Why, did she have a green screen or something? Was she famously, I don't know. I don't get it. Okay, let's move along. This week is our Glastonbury Fringe Festival and WrestleMania all wrapped into one for the UK WP Fair. WrestleMania. Okay. And lastly from Reese, I'm having to buy a cocktail when I see my sister-in-law on Tuesday, Tim, to say thank you. Aww.
I hope it's a nice, you know, a really fancy one that's sparkly. Even it's maybe a skull one with flames umbrella coming out of it. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that sounds good to me. Right. Okay. Oh, I'm going to make these captions so they don't do that silliness. There we go. That's better. Fix that. Can't wait to see you all there. Indeed. And Mark Wilkinson. Yeah. Mark did reply to my email, but was unavailable because of the school run, which he's got to go on shortly. Anyway, there's our panel. Thank you so much for joining us today. Keep the comments coming in. If you do fancy getting somebody else to join in with us today, send them here, wpbuilds.com/live. And over there, you've got YouTube comments. So you need to be logged into a Google account. Unless you don't like Google, in which case, look, search inside the video player at the top right. There's a little black box which says live chat. And if you click on that, you don't need to be logged into anything. You just type your name in and we'll get your comments. And so with that, let's get on with the show, shall we? Let me share my screen. This is us, a little bit of self-promotion, wpbuilds.com. If you want to keep in touch with what we do, just pop your email into that little box and we'll send you 2 emails a week. One when we package this up. So I'll send it out as a podcast episode tomorrow morning. And then we also do a Thursday podcast episode. The archive section up here will get you both of those. So as an example, this is the podcast archive. These go out on a Thursday. Most recent episode was with it was all about Shutterpress. So we got a brand new plugin all about selling your photographs. So it's a bit like a kind of WooCommerce extension to sell your photographs. So that was kind of interesting. But also, if you would like to come on this show, I have a URL for you. It is wpbuilds.com/, and then the acronym for this show, This Week in WordPress. So it's TWIW. Fill that form out, and you never know. We might have you on the show at some point in the future. There we go. That's it. That's all I got. Right, Tammy Lister. Proud moment, I think. This is Mary Hubbard, who is the executive director of the Word Project. And that title has changed. Did she inherit it directly from Josepha? I think she did. Anyway, moving on. This is announcing the core program team. This was just a few days ago, the 15th of September. And it says, and I'll quote, this program model was first introduced with the core AI team. Building on that experience, I'd like to expand it into an experiment with the launch of the core program team. Tammy Lister has agreed to help as the first team representative. And I'll read this, but then Tammy can explain more. The goal of the team is to strengthen coordination across core, improve efficiency, and make contribution easier. It will focus on documenting practices, surfacing roadmaps, supporting new teams with clear processes. The team will not set product direction. Each core team remains autonomous. The role is to listen, connect, and reduce friction so contributors can collaborate more smoothly. So, Tam, it's kind of over to you, really. Obviously, we know you're involved, but do you want to just give us the skinny on what you see the thing is?
So it's just getting started. And I think that's the thing is, if you kind of click through the core program team blog, so we're trying something a little bit different. So there's a first post, which this literally one. Says kind of an expanded version of this. So I won't kind of go over that because people can kind of go there and read. It's there are two posts. the first post is kind of expanding a bit. And then the other one is just, as there are conversations that happen, really what I'm trying to do is just surface those in a weekly this post. So we're trying for a little bit to not have weekly meetings, which is kind of as a team kind of forms and works out what it's doing. But any discussion that happens in Slack kind of comes through. So that just kind of deals with the kind of process and information. But that's it. Like our teams have, so particularly in AI, we've been doing this roadmaps, we've been doing surfacing communication that way, and also trying to really have this format of experimentation. So it's twofold. One, the fact that the AI team has had this experimentation, and the second, how can we increase this coordination within teams, and how can we surface where there are ways to improve, or where one team is doing something that another team could really benefit from or a practice. And I've actually found this. So one of the kind of examples I found is when we were setting up the core AI team and some of the flows, I've looked at the performance team and I've looked at the core team itself. And I've been cherry picking all these different processes and then bringing them together and then doing my little spin on them on how that they would fit into the kind of core team. And that's great, but I'm doing it each time in my own little variation.
Right,
and
then
being able to like document and share those, and also having a place where people can do this. So we have a place where developers can be, we have a place where designers can be, we have a place where you can go for translation, but where do the people who want to do product, project management and program work? At the moment, we don't necessarily recognize all that work. It's beautifully invisible. And they're running around connecting, they're running around sorting our project boards. They are doing it. and this is a way to do it, even down to labeling. So in Core AI, when we had the labels, we're setting up all the new repos. And what I did, I went in and I looked at the core editor labels. That was a lot. Then I looked at the core performance ones. Not all of those we needed. So we cherry pick them over, and there's like a command you can use from GitHub, and like we put it in the handbook, but things like that, right? Like sharing that information and where can that information be? It's not always going to be on a new Teams, but your Teams set up repos all the time. Teams want to share information. Teams want to get contributors. So maybe a team tries something new. I saw the other day the training team were doing this like almost Sherlock Holmes investigation thing. It was kind of cool to see. They've got like this quest. But I only discovered that by just looking in their Slack to see. So all these kind of cool stuff, just being able to share that this is going on and finding a way that it might be able to be used in other teams. We don't know how this will get used yet, but when you are a contributor, being able to find this information as well is really, really important. So that's part of this is where do you go to find all the roadmaps? Where do you go to find what needs to have your contribution if you have a particular skill? You can you know, all those kind of things. There's lots of questions about where do we have goals, and that's going to be collectively decided. There's a Slack thread, surprise, about how we do that. But yeah, that's, we have not decided what we're going to do yet, so people can come and join and have that discussion. It's all completely open, and then we decide what we do.
So very much bound to core, but it sounds like at the moment the thing that you've committed to is this weekly post where you're going to...
There's two things. There's a weekly post, and then there's a check-in in the Slack channel where people can be like, what am I doing and what are my blockers? And then we're just going to have some discussions and work out what this team does collectively by the people that turn up. Because that's kind of what you do with a team. that it's really as simple as that in the way that we work, particularly on teams that aren't necessarily shipping a feature to start off with, right? What are we doing? What are the issues? So one of the things I'm doing at the moment is the handbook. And there were a number of paper cuts in our flows that weren't documented or weren't, like, I found out there was no documentation for the subscribe box on a new team, and like little pieces you find that you're only going to find if you happen to do a new team under a new moon with your hand behind the back, and all these kind of weird things that you only do, right? Like, but being able to document this stuff, we don't necessarily always try our flows.
So I'm just going to reiterate what Mary said. So the goal is to strengthen coordination across core, improve efficiency, make contribution easier. And then the focuses will be documenting practices, which sounds a little bit like you've kind of got into the practice of that a little bit, surfacing roadmaps, supporting new teams with clear processes. But from what you've just said, nothing's set in stone just yet. No. The team exists and you're keen to see where this takes you.
Yeah, and the point is to listen first. So if a team is doing everything and it's going really well for a team, why should that change?
Right.
Why should, you know, other people should learn from that team and other people should discover why that is, why contribution is working so well on that team, and be able to like listen. I'm a great believer when you walk into a space, listen first. If I walked in speaking and then just saying you need to do something this way, that wouldn't be, that's not project or program work. That is a completely different aspect. So yeah, it's really about that. Most of the people who are going to be on this are going to also be embedded in a different team doing very hands-on kind of train work doing it. So there's a couple of us who are in Core AI are definitely doing roadmap and project management and product management. That's what we're doing. So you know, we're doing that in another team. And then when we come into the program team, we're going to be kind of bringing those practices and seeing how we can share that and come together.
So also point out, because I'm sure that people will be curious to know, you know, what the autonomy is. But the very last paragraph said the core program team will not set product direction. So this is definitively not a, we've got a new governing body.
Basically.
No, it's not that. And I'll read on a little bit more. Each core team not remains.
We can slowly but surely give Tammy most of it, and then all of a step away, and Tammy can just be standing there going, "What do you mean, Daphne?"
That's right. Come on.
Human.
I'm going to carry on reading. Each core team remains autonomous. The program's role is to listen, connect, and reduce friction so contributors can contribute more smoothly. I would have imagined, unless that sentence had been that paragraph had been added, that would have been the assumption of many, was that, okay, this is coming to, I don't know, add a layer of efficiency on top of us or something like that. But now we know that's not the case. It's an experiment.
If this team doesn't add to ease contribution, if it doesn't do that, the experiment's failed. Like that's something I kind of wrote about in the first post. Like an experiment should be tested and measured. And I really, truly believe that. As much as we form teams, if this team doesn't work, shouldn't be a rat. Like I will be truthful about that. Like it's one of those things. I think it will. otherwise, I wouldn't be trying to be part of it. But it will serve its purpose. Yeah. However long that needs, the point is that we need to give experiments measure and we need to determine how that works.
So I'll just highlight the pieces again. So the first one that caused me to get aware about this, Tammy put in my path, and it was this one. on make.wordpress.org. It's called Announcing the Core Team. Sorry, the Core Program Team. There's a variety of links to the Slack channel, and then a link at the bottom to the welcome post, and indeed Tammy's piece, which was entitled This Week in Core Program, number one, which I presume will be followed by number two in short shrift. But there we go. That's that piece. Nomad Skateboarding joining us from not sure where, but hello. We tried a version of this in the training team last year. Sorry, I'm just going to make it so that Tammy's face has not disappeared. We tried a version of this in the training team year before last. I was gathering free feedback from all the other teams. It's truncated, but I'll read it anyway. We ended up turning it into the roadmaps that are now there. This is needed. So you have a fan in Nomad Skateboarding. That's nice. And apropos of nothing, joining us is Vladimir from Helsinki, where it's rainy, sunny, rainy. Thank you for joining us, Vladimir. Nice to have you. Anybody, Dave or Tim, anything you want to contribute to that piece?
Systemizing is good.
Yeah.
Generally, I know that sounds like a weird thing to say out of context, but this is a project that's like over 20 years, and it's the teams. Some of the teams have been around for a while. Some of the teams started off ad hocly. We have a real problem, and our problem is that we have an aging core team and an aging teams in general in WordPress, an aging WordPress level. As we lose people, as we inevitably will, through just people will be leaving, if we don't have the systems in place, we have to resurface that knowledge. If we're resurfacing things constantly, we'll also change things ever so slightly, and you end up with that sort of like Chinese whisper style scenario where that thing that somebody told somebody once upon a time has now been passed down 12 levels and now it is there, and you end up with that, with the scenario of there's a box in the corner with a button and we can't press it. Why? We don't know, but we can't press the button. WordPress core and make and WordPress as a whole has lots of those sections, whether it's in code, whether that's in process. There are lots of it of, we can't press that button. Why can't we press the button? I don't know, but I got told once upon a time not to press that button.
That's really an interesting take on it, Tim. I hadn't really given it any thought from that angle.
There are many buttons.
Yeah, lots of buttons. Okay. Yeah. Having ever contributed in any way, shape, or form to core, I don't know what the buttons are, but I imagine they're out there.
The problem is, I will generally press the buttons. I'm sorry.
No, your new role precludes you from pressing all the buttons.
Well, no, in general, I will, just to find out, and then document why you shouldn't press the buttons. That's generally what I do.
The age of the WordPress contributor base is skewing. Well, I mean, I feel it's not skewing older. It just is getting older as the calendar year moves on year by year. It's just getting older, and we don't seem to have that throughput. And so maybe this will make life a little bit easier.
The newer contributors and outside practices probably can teach us something. As well as we've got to listen within, we've got to listen without as well. And that's part of it. Like, maybe something we're doing, someone new is going to turn up with their credits. We've got all these awesome people turning up, and they might be like, have you thought of doing it this way? And then that could spread across all the contributor teams and be really awesome for all of us.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's hope that the optimism that we have at the moment carries on. That's great. So there we go. That was the first piece. Each of the guests is given the opportunity to bring some bits and pieces to the show, and we try to do them at the beginning. Dave obviously didn't get that opportunity, so that'll be a pass for Dave. But Tim did, and so Tim has decided to share this one. The URL for this is jasonspielman.com. And it's all about Notebook LM. I'm so inexperienced with all of this, so I'm just gonna give it to you, Tim. Tell us why.
So this came up onto my various feeds earlier this week, and I like Notebook LM. Notebook LM, for anybody who hasn't come across it before, is a Google product. It is designed for mainly more towards academic research and research in general. It was one of the first usable AI solutions that had an actual purpose and wasn't just like a chatbot and then it would feed you back garbage. It came up with things. Most people will have come across it because of its like podcast feature, where you can give it a bunch of sources and it will generate a podcast with two people just chatting away.
It's evil. pure evil. But anyway, carry on.
Well, however you feel about it.
It's so good.
That's what it's mainly known for. But it is a research tool. It allows you to do a really good example is that when I had to teach a bunch of classes about latest legislation, and I actually needed the legislation so I could drop the PDFs into Notebook LM and get it to tell me the bits of law I actually wanted, where I could cite it properly. But I could then say, and how does this interact with this set of things that I'm doing? This article isn't about Notebook LM itself. This article is about the UI. And the design interface and how they came up with the branding and the design. Because one of the things that I find fascinating is that all AI seems to be developed around the idea of a chatbot.
Yeah, really.
So much AI is a little rectangle and where you feed some input in and that's it. You have no way around it. So Notebook LM differentiates itself because there's so much more to it. There's so much different ways to interact. And there is a little chatbot, but it's sort of tucked away. You almost don't need to use it because the interface is there to give you those inputs. And I found that fascinating. And I make use of Notebook LM a lot. So it was a really interesting to see how they'd wired it in such a way that actually, for me, worked really well for my brain.
It's kind of curious that chatbots even became the thing. Obviously, ChatGPT came out whenever that was. Seems like decades ago, but it was really just a handful of years. And now everybody's leaning into that. I, as Tammy can attest, I'm a bit of a Luddite when it comes to AI. I don't really make much use of it. I don't have a great deal of need for it, which is probably the reason. But I'm working on a plugin. Well, I'm not doing any of the coding. Dan maybe is, but we're doing this podcast, the Plus plugin. And Dan fed the documentation plus the website plus, I can't remember, some other bits and pieces into Notebook LM, and it spat out a podcast. And annoyingly, it was extremely good. So whilst the podcast was, the vernacular and things like that was a little bit weird, I listened to the whole 30-minute episode, and it talked to me about a product which I've been intimately involved in, and it surfaced 5 or 6, maybe 10 things which I hadn't even thought of. It kind of came up with these interesting scenarios, and I just found that to be really profound, that given data, it could tease out things which it had not been told to tease out. It had just intuited those for itself. But anyway, so that's about Notebook LM. But thank you for bringing this. I expect Tammy's got something to say about UI. She's pretty good with those, it turns out.
I mean, this is interesting to me because I've just been writing my talk for Wednesday, which is about the AI interface. And my argument is that we should have less interface. And actually, this approach is kind of aligned with that, because what it does is it puts AI very, very much not at the forefront of the interface. AI just happens to be there. AI is part of it. It's not like the feature. It just gets the job done. The reason I'm going to put your point about, you said about wondered why chat. We've been using chat for decades. Like the bots. Like we've been typing into a bubble screen in text for a long time, because to us, it's a trusting interface. To us, it's the way we've got help on our websites. It's the way we've done customer service. So we've learned to trust it. And actually, it's not necessarily a healthy pattern to use it for AI, because it's a shortcut for us to trust. So there's a whole way that AI is using some almost shortcuts to our brain, from trusting to putting a smile on it, giving it a name. There's some not great stuff if you dig into some of the AI patterns as well. But the way forward that kind of design is going with AI is this and then some, where it's just about, do you even need an interface? Is it actually doing the job? And then AI just happens to be part of the tech stack. And that's really what matters. It's just, it gets the job done.
It's kind of interesting. A whole article just about the UI of it, because there's a lot of complexity going on. I mean, it's incredibly complicated what it's doing. And if they can distill that into something.
Product flow. It just happens to be AI. Yeah. So we're just like, oh, it's AI, but it's just a product flow.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Like, it's just a really clever one.
Nomad Skateboarding's got a commentary on that, and I have not used Notebook LM on a mobile, but obviously he has. Another positive for Notebook LM, he says, is that it works fantastic for mobile users. I'm guessing there's an Android and iOS app. And
no, it's the UI for the web interface, because that's in itself. When someone goes, oh, actually, I might make the website to be the important thing, it doesn't force you off to go and use an app, which is really good. I have lots of experience just using it as a study guide. So if you've ever done flashcards like with Aki and similar, you can tell it, make me flashcards and bring those up. Useful stuff like that.
Do you kind of entrust it implicitly now, or do you do a fine double checking process?
No, obviously it's still going to regurgitate, and it because you're giving it sources, and you can skew it to primary sources, it helps, it reduces down. There is still the time where if it's going outside of its primary sources, it can still hallucinate. But generally, right, when it's referencing and citing its own, the source that you've added, i.e. the things on the left-hand side in that screenshot, which is just a list of sources, which you provide it, whether that's a URL, whether that's a PDF, whether that's a video, from that source base, it tends to be quite good. Like all AI setups, if you let it go out full free with its artificial imagination, it will just imagine stuff and it can hallucinate. But if you set the parameters really tightly, and what this does, which perhaps now you find with things like ChatGPT, now if you say to something like ChatGPT, tell me about this, it will come back and it will normally cite you the source at the same time.
Okay.
That's a relatively new thing. That was Notebook LM's first thing. It would always tell you where I cited this source from and why, and you would let you click the link to go and check it yourself. So I have a little bit more trust in it than I would some others, but
because you can follow up, right? You can do the follow-up, not just assume it's telling you the truth. So just a couple of things. Firstly, Peacher Neri says hello Peacher, nice to have you with us. And Elliot down the road from me also says hello. That's nice. Thank you very much. Dave, anything to add to the Notebook LM, or shall we move on?
I was going to say, a funny comment. Is AI in the room with us now?
Yeah, probably. Somewhere. It's listening. I'm reading a really interesting book at the moment. It's by a guy called Yuval Noah Harari. It's called Nexus. And it's absolutely fascinating. And it literally tries to chart the rise of technology from the Stone Age right through to AI, and it's a fascinating, there's a through line which I hadn't really thought about, and it's really interesting. It's definitely a recommendation. It's called Nexus by Yuval Noah Harari. It's really, really interesting if you want to sort of see that bigger historical picture. Okay, let's move on. So they're the few bits from our guests this week. Let's do this one. Let's go to the repository. This week, an article came out, well, the 11th of September, so it's a little bit old, but here we go. WordPress hosting team launches annual survey, promises to publish results. My understanding is that there have been endeavors like this in the past, but then the kind of the contents of the results never saw the light of day. So that's, I guess, the difference here. But I'll just read a little bit. The WordPress hosting team has launched the 2025 hosting survey. There's a link you can click to it, and it looks like this. So you can delve a little bit further if you are a hosting company. Inviting providers, so hosting providers of all shapes and sizes who run WordPress websites. The results will be published in full and used to inform updates to the WordPress.org hosting page, a page every host wants to be on, but few understand why you can get on there, basically. There's this sort of assumption that maybe, I don't know, there's a financial trade or something going on in the background there. The survey was last run in 2023, but now apparently will be an annual thing, and the results will be published I don't know where they'll be published, but hopefully they'll come to light somewhere. It's a fairly in-depth survey. It's 54 questions. You can do it as a survey or fill out a spreadsheet, and not skimming the surface. It asks basic questions like pricing, language, customer numbers, and moves on to more technical stuff like PHP, database versions, caching layers, GPL compatibility, etc. And a whole bunch of other things. And so if you are in any way, shape, or form involved in a hosting company, If all it's to do is to get it onto that hosting page, that seems like a curious...
It's not just used for that.
No,
I feel like this article may be not misleading, but I think everybody, I can say this with relative impunity. Everybody knows that if you're going to fill that survey in, you're not getting on the hosting page unless you are one of the hosts that's already on there. But the hosting team itself is made up of people from hosting companies, from wider industry supporting the hosting companies. So the hosting team is a much bigger thing than that page. In fact, that page has nothing to do directly with the hosting team. That's ultimately a different team that has access to it. And there have, in the past, been lots of locks against people editing that page, regardless of what plans have been put in place. But this survey does allow, by publishing it in full, means that hosting companies themselves, but people who also work with hosting companies can go through and see the various and compare what's going on in different places. So it gives you a big overview, and what it can do is reach lots of companies. So if you take something like, I forgot his surname, from reviews, the person who runs Review Signal, he does a hosting survey once a year.
Kevin. On the surname as well. Anyway, we will try to correct that at some point in a minute.
But his reviews are really super in depth, but they are a snapshot of a very small segment of the broad hosting, and they're brilliant for what they do. And everybody wants to get on those reviews, and you want to do well there, because that is something you can really go as a hosting company, go and shout about and say, look at this, we're in this list. Similarly, the hosting companies will want to do this survey because they'll want to be part of that. But also it then can feed into things like, what should the priorities be for hosting companies?
Right.
Are we looking at PHP versions that are really low? Do the majority of these hosting companies have caching? So that data that it's pulling out is really useful, because it helps dictate other aspects from other teams coming in as well, potentially. So this is something that could be shared to other teams, but even within the hosting teams, it helps with the hosting documentation and the best practices for the managed host side of things. So I think you're probably best limiting the expectation that the hosting page is changing, and just take this as like, hey, this will be really useful data, let's go with that.
Would this, so let's say, for example, you're a hosting company and you get to that form, and I think it said that there were 57 or 54, something like 54 questions, and you suddenly realize that there's a little gap. Let's say, I don't know, you can't answer three questions fully. Do you think it's more likely that at that point you're going to back away because it's going to look weird if you submit something and there's gaps? So what I'm saying is, do hosting companies often get to this and then not fill it out because they can't provide everything? In other words, do the questions kind of limit the scope of who can participate? I'm not summing that up very well, but do you understand what
I haven't seen the 25 questions, but I have seen the 23 questions. There wasn't anything on there that was should have stopped them from filling it in. Now, whether they would like go, do we want to admit that we don't do
this? That's what I was trying to get to. That's the wording. Yeah.
None of it is particularly hard for you to work out separately. And to be honest, most hosts will say, yes, we have a SLA agreement that is 99.9 uptime. And you go, 99.9? Yeah, so that you're down for 3 days a year. What? Because that's how math works. So all of these sort of things, most of the people will fill this in truthfully, because it will be they're replicating what is on their website. Now, whether they'll then see the results and go, huh, that's interesting. All these other hosts say that they're up for 99.99% of the time. Well, we should probably do that. That seems much more reasonable. And so it gives them an opportunity to compare the others. And they can't, and it's possibly I don't imagine they wouldn't fill it in, because there's no trade secrets amongst this.
That's
publicly available.
And the chat has come to the rescue, Tim. Steve Birch coming in saying, Kevin, I'm going to say Ohashi. Yeah, I apologize.
Steve,
sorry, Kevin, if I got your name wrong there.
Thank you, Steve.
an annual, I think it's annual. It feels like sometimes it comes around more than annual, or at least
no, it's annual.
But it's a full. So if you Google Kevin Ohashi, I can't remember the. I just tried Review to Signal. Google it. Review Signal.
Signal. I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that it is worth saying that a Review Signal is a paid for. So the hosts have to pay to get the survey to get on that. But he's very open with how everything is managed and how everything is being reviewed. And it's as close as we have to like a truly industry standard for like, hey, these people have at least met some sort of, I've tested the same thing on every one of these sites.
Yeah.
You can argue about individual tests and bits, but the whole gamut is there. And it's the closest thing we have to a decent sort of like, this is the benchmark for going and picking your host.
Okay, so go and check that out. So there we go. We now have this. Hopefully, if you're in any way connected, you can go and fill out that. It's been going for a couple of weeks now, I think, something like that. So I don't know when it ends, but hopefully the results will be published at some point in a way that people like me can actually understand. I guess the nightmare would be if it gets published on some kind of like, you know, unmentioned place that you've really got to go and search for, and it's in a way that you can't really understand. So let's hope it's available for all of us. Right, anybody else on that one? Dave, Tammy, before we move on.
Bluehost is happy to have won.
The results are in already. Okay, there we go. Right, here we go. That was the survey. I'll just link to that. And then we will go here. So this is a bit of community news. I've got to say, this time last year when WordCamp, so this is about WordCamp Canada. They call it WordCamp A, EH, because apparently the Canadians are famous for ending sentences with that little word. I was slightly concerned that this event would never see the light of day again, because at the time, there was so much going on in the WordPress space, and this event, I feel, kind of got a bit consumed by that tidal wave of stuff. And it seemed like they had a real struggle getting seat tickets sold and what have you. But this year's event looks to be exactly the opposite. It looks like everything's going gangbusters. So this is WordCamp Canada 2025. It's happening really soon, like, I don't know, 3.5 weeks, something like that. October, or at least the date for this beers, and they've just announced a whole day of workshops. It's a two-track thing, so you can turn up and enjoy two different tracks. I think they start in the morning doing the same thing, and then they split off in the afternoon into a beginner track and a developer track. And this has just been added on as a complete extra, so you don't have to pay any extra if you've already got a ticket. It's just now a thing that you can attend. Beyond that, I don't really have much to say, but I'm just pleased that what felt like it could be a real flagship event, it felt for a little while, like I said, that it was not going in the right direction, but now it looks like it's been really taken up by the Canadians, North Americans, and elsewhere. So yeah, anybody got anything on that? I don't suppose there's a lot to say. No. Okay. Anyway, bravo, all the organizers, go and check it out. You can find that at canada.wordcamp.org, and as I say, it's the 15th. I'm not entirely sure. I think that's the first day now, as opposed to it being the last day, so you're going to turn up early for that one, so maybe there's some hotels that need to be rejigged and things like that. All right. Excuse me. Right, more community news. This is a thing which comes about all the time. The Yoast Care Fund, which is a I don't know what the right word is, bursary, let's go with that, which is announced, I think it's annual. Again, it always seems to come around much more quickly than annual, but it probably is annual.
It's not annual.
Is it not?
It's just nominated.
Whenever it happens kind of.
I don't know what the cadence is. I do apologize for that, but no, I don't think it's annual.
No, but anyway, we whenever it comes about, we like to just sort of praise, firstly, Yoast, for offering up this kind of thing, and then just mention the person who got the nod. And apologies, Dan Tabifranca, I'm going to say, I hope that that's right, has received the award. And the way it works is that it's a nomination and then recipient thing. So somebody has to do the nomination, and then presumably behind closed doors, the nominations are sort of filtered through and what have you, and decided upon. And the nominator said the following things. Dan has been fantastic as an event organizer at WordCamp Asia in Manila 2025, stellar organizer locally in the Philippines, actively organizing and speaking at several meetups and workshops. And I often see events from the Philippines in my feed where Dan is involved. So the recognition for that, basically. So this is for hard work done. So well done, Dan, basically. I don't have anything else to add, unless you two do. Three do, sorry.
Sounds all good.
Yeah, amazing. Amazing that companies like Yoast actually, I mean, there's no need for them to do this.
No, and it's also not tied to anything. It's not like you then have to go and do sponsorship or anything. It's more like you're doing you doing what you're doing, and we see what you're doing, or someone sees what you're doing, and here's something for doing that.
Which is an interesting framing of it, and that sort of in the back of my head, but never kind of comes out in that way. So this is a reward for work already done. It's not like, okay, you've been quite good, now carry on being good and do the following things, and here's some money to do them. This is just a.
I mean, this person's probably going to continue doing this even for the work they recognize, which is also because they're just so awesome. Yeah. And that's the thing, like these people that have been recognized, it's just. We see you.
Isn't that amazing that we have companies in the WordPress space that have,
it will matter to that person.
Yeah.
Doing the work. Right.
Yeah. Anyway, welcome, Dan. Sorry, not welcome. Well done, Dan. Brilliant. So there you go.
Also welcome, because they might come on the show. You welcome them on.
Come on, Dan. Although if it's Manila, it's probably like, I don't know, like midnight or something like that already. Yeah. We had Lawrence Ladomery. He's Tim and Cameron, usually the only people from that part of the world who come in and say hi. So it's late. But Dan, if you fancy coming on, we would love to have you. That would be really nice. Mm. WPBuilds.com/TWIW if you want to be involved. Okay.
He sounds like a YouTuber, isn't he? He's getting his content and everything. Yes.
Like, subscribe.
I reckon he's got his AI robot installed. And it's his bot installed. And it's not actually Nathan speaking, it's Nathan bot.
Honestly, I'm somewhere else having a nice cup of coffee. And he's up having a great time. The whole like and subscribe thing, I never subscribe to anything. I'm such a curmudgeon. I always think I'll go back to the things that I want to go to, or I'll follow the algorithm. Anyway, I tried to subscribe to something the other day, and I tried to smash that bell or whatever it is they say. It doesn't work that way anymore now.
Say smash that bell?
No, if you... People always used to say that, didn't they? Back in the day. When I was a child.
Smash that bell, did they, really?
But they now you've got this choice. It's this drop down. You don't just hit this icon and then you are subscribed. There's like this, there's four choices beneath it where you can sort of indicate the kind of the regularity of it. So anyway, if you want to keep in touch with what we do, pick the most frequent one and hit the bell.
Smash
and then
that bell as
smash, frequent. Smash that bell.
Smash the bell and then click the drop down.
And then select the most frequent, please.
Select, that's right. It's very polite.
Thank you.
Yeah, please. Thank you very much. Pinky. Okay, so. Anyway, if you fancy doing that, that'd be nice. Right, okay. Back to this stuff. So this is apropos of nothing. This website could have really come from anywhere, but I just found this statistic curious. So this is on Matt Mullenweg's blog. I don't know if you've noticed. Is it just me, or has Matt returned to like blogging? I don't know if that's.
I love it. I think
it's like every Tim's decided to clear off at this point.
Yeah, Tim's done.
Yeah, Tim's had it. But it used to be that Matt used to blog. Like once in a blue moon and you'd see something come, but now it's like almost every day.
Probably should be motivation for all of us. I'm feeling it as well, but like in a good way. I think it's a good thing. We all should be building more.
And it's not very much not always connected with WordPress. No. This one is because of the nature of the show. That's what I'm highlighting. Yeah. But often it's of, you know, just some other random stuff. And it is kind of tangential, but it leads me to an interesting statistic. So Matt has published this article called Every 6 Minutes, in which he says, I can't remember, he went to the dentist or something like that. Dinner tonight, he said. And there were a bunch of old magazines sitting on the table. So by old magazines, talking about when he was a kid and tech magazines. And if you're looking at it, you can see that there was an advert on the screen for a company called Highway Technologies. And he was saying that, so this is an issue of Wired. And back in the day, this company, Highway Technologies, was making the probably rightfully boastful claim that they were setting up a website every 6 minutes. So once every 6 minutes, so 10 times an hour, they would onboard somebody as a client. And Matt then goes on to say this, and I just found this statistic to be utterly fascinating. I haven't done the maths, actually. I should probably do that whilst you guys are talking. And he's saying that every 6 minutes means 240 a day, which is, I guess he's extrapolated to a year, 100,000 websites over the course of however many years. And then he said last month, WordPress.com, so .com, was creating a website every 3 seconds. And that just made me, I couldn't kind of take that in. Every 3 seconds to me seems like, kind of Google statistics, if you know what I mean. Like, obviously, I know Google probably carries out 100 million SERPs results every like few minutes or something like that. But a new website every 3 seconds. So every 10 seconds that passes, you've got three. Every minute, you've got what? Like
28,800 seconds, 28,800 sites a day.
How? What? I mean.
Okay, keep in mind, WordPress.com, free hosting, spammers exist.
So would you imagine the majority of it would represent just spam than just some spinning up a nonsense site or what have you? And to be honest, to be fair to Matt in this, Matt is not making a claim about, he then doesn't go on to say legit websites or anything like that, or look how brilliant our platform is. He's literally making a connection with old magazine, what we now do. But still, the breadth of that is amazing. 28,000 sites a day, whether or not they stick around, I presume quite a lot of them do. Anyway, sorry, Tim, I interrupted.
I interrupted you. But yeah, it's an amazing statistic. And the scary thing is, I think WordPress.com is a massive host, they're not the biggest by any stretch, and other hosts have similar statistics. But the big thing is, for WordPress.com, that is going to be almost certainly include their free signups, which unfortunately will mean, even if the majority of those don't actually even become active, they will, because there is a lot of anti-spam that goes into trying to keep people out of those free sites to use them for spam. But whenever you get to that sort of scale, the vast majority of your signups are spam. It's just the nature of how it is, sadly.
But regardless of that, it's still quite a platform, isn't it, WordPress.com? You know,
just think, the previous one where they were saying that 6 minutes, yeah, one every 6 minutes, they were probably all spam too, just to be clear.
And also from a process perspective, think about how much of that was a manual and how much of that wasn't automated.
Yeah.
That was like Marge and Bob in the back room, they'd print out a form from the printer, and then they'd have to go up some stairs, and then they'd have to put it on someone's tray, and then they'd have to pick it up, and then they'd have to stamp it, and then they'd have to process it.
Now Marge and Bob just employ data center wolves to do it.
Now Marge and Bob are robots.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry, Dave.
So that's 1 minute worth. The other 5 minutes is the old 5 minute installer.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
They were installing Drupal at the time, so it was just.
But amazing, just literally amazing, the scale of it all. You know, every 3 seconds, just a WordPress.com website. So, you know, scale that across Wix, Squarespace, Drupal, all of these other platforms. You know, there's loads of them. It is pretty remarkable. And I had that same intuition. Probably most of it's junk, but WordPress.com still have to deal with that junk. You know, they have to process that stuff, figure out whether it's spam or not. And presumably if it passes all the gatekeeping, then put it online and keep it online.
I had a very fascinating conversation with a person who does spam for a living. They build SEO spam sites for a living.
What they they're not trying to prevent it. They are.
No, that's what they do. And they produce between 1,000 and 2,000 sites a day. So that's one person doing that as a freelancer, because it's a freelancer sort of job. So you can work, when you start scaling it out like that, you start to realize the scale of these things. Chatting to him was fascinating, because it was just like, I thought I knew.
What goes on in the mind of someone that does that as well, like what their kind of story is.
They have a very different set of incentives than I do, put it that way. Just built on a different model than me.
It's totally financial, but also challenge, you know, for all of the, whatever you think, like, oh God, sleazy, horrible, all the negativity, at the same time, he was absolute joy to chat to. He was really knowledgeable.
Because are they just focusing on like the problem and the challenge of it rather than anything, right? Yeah.
And getting a large paycheck out the end of it. So from their perspective, it's the best thing ever.
Yeah, if you think about it, you know, if you go to your local printers and you see their print run and they're producing like 58,000 pizza menus or something, you don't kind of view that in the same way, even though that is basically spamming your actual letterbox.
Depends on your perspective, because I do view that in the same way.
Okay, fair enough. But I wouldn't see that in the same light. I'd be seeing that as, yeah, that's what you do. That's your business, if you like. Mm-hmm. Whereas the spammer, the website spammer, I see that business as a sort of shady thing, but from what Tim said, that's just what they do for a living, right? It's kind of interesting. They're not doing anything. Well, I'm going to make the assumption that they're not doing anything nefarious. They're just knocking up a bunch of SEO sites so that they can capture legitimate traffic. Nothing that they're doing is illegal. I mean, it reeks to my sensibilities. It's not where I would wish the world to be going, but you know, I guess that's what they do, and probably get paid really handsomely for it as well. Ay, ay, ay. Anyway, him and his 28 mates are knocking up all of these websites.
That's what I was trying to get at. 28 mates. That's all it is 28 people.
Yeah.
Couldn't produce that much when he's sites spinning up. That's quite a terrifying thought.
Yeah. Darn, it doesn't seem all that impressive anymore. It's 28 people. No, it's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So James is joining us. Hello, James. Nice to have you with us. He says, hello and good morning. What celebrity or gator are we discussing today? We got into a conversation the other day about alligators, and it was wild. I don't know what, who eating them and all sorts. No, we're not doing any celebrities or gators today, James. We are, in fact, just talking about spamming and how lucrative it can
be. Why were you eating gators?
I wasn't. Jess Frick and Marcus Burnett both live in Florida, where it's like on the menu because they're everywhere, you know. So that was a thing we got chatting about. Moving on quickly. Reese says, I'm wondering if me and Tim know the same spammer. Known a few in my time. You two can talk.
We almost certainly do know the same spammer.
Okay, maybe you do. Okay, there we go. Anyway,
welcome to England, where our island is small.
Our technology is smaller.
Actually, just that, you know, I'm conscious of the time, so if you need to drop out, I know you need to drop out.
I've got about 2 more minutes.
If you just want to give us a wave when you're ready to go, I appreciate you being here. So I know we won't be able to say goodbye to you.
The dramatic effect just makes the swing of life.
Dave, this is weird. Can we do our little wave in the middle of the show, just so that everybody... So that, look how forward-thinking I am. Tim and Tammy, can you just give us the little wave so that I can use that as the... Look at Tammy's face. Let's go with that. That's perfect.
I can go.
Tim's off. He's away. Yeah, and that's the end of the show. No. We'll keep going. Right, moving on. Let's go
that
here.
Broke me.
Yeah. Sorry, it kind of broke me. But I was just thinking, whenever a guest leaves early, there's always like a big hole in the
process-driven people. Me and Tim are just broken now.
I'll leave now, so don't confuse you.
Yeah. Right. See you later, Dave. Thanks, mate. Nice to have you with us. Cheers. Right, in which case we will move on. Let me just see if I can get...
I want to know what happens to the interface when you've got three people.
You get a row all by yourself. That's weird. That's very nice. Yeah, you're capacious. Look, Tammy, you can really stretch out and not hurt anybody. Right, okay. So first of all, caveat emptor, the next one, you may have noticed, if you go to our website, we are that WP Builds is sponsored by three companies. One of them is GoDaddy. So I always think if I'm talking about GoDaddy or anything like this, probably a good idea for me to preempt it. But they had a big news announcement this week all around the AI space. And they've got a product which they've been touting for a little while now, but finally they've brought it to fruition. It's called Aero, A-I-R-O. And it's their launch into the AI site builder space. I was very lucky, actually, in Adam Warner, who is very senior in the GoDaddy space. He joined me on a on the call. We didn't record it or anything like that, but he just gave me a kind of run through of how it works. And Tim, it leans into, oh, was it Tammy? I can't remember. No, it's Tim. It leans into this, it's got a chat box, basically. You launch the platform and you go through, and you can see it actually on the screen there. There we go. You're basically asked a bunch of questions with a chat bot, and then it launches your website. The whole process is over in about, I don't know, 3 minutes or something like that. So I have nothing more to add than that. I had a go. It worked. It was totally credible. And if you're in the space where you need to turn around websites really, really quickly, and it kind of struck me as a curious option. If you're trying to show clients a whole bunch of different possibilities for the exact same website, something like this might be really useful for that, because within 3 minutes you can have a working version, then you can spin up another one and what have you. So anyway, it is called Aero by GoDaddy, and you can go and check it out. I will put the link in the show notes.
And if you were even slightly worried, it is a registered trademark. The size of that registered trademark.
Yeah. Why do people, what can you tell me? Why do people do that? Because it's all over the place, isn't it? If you see the word Aero here as an example, it's got, sorry, for those of you that are listening, I'm highlighting on the screen. The use of the word Aero in the normal text, and it's got whatever that is, the R thing. Is it registered? Is that what it stands for? I'm always curious as to why you would use it in every example of it, as opposed to, you can see it in the header here. And to my sensibilities, I sort of think maybe that would be where you'd stop doing that. It's not just GoDaddy, it's all these big companies, isn't it, that do that.
I think it's to do with litigious lawyers, isn't it?
Yeah. Litigious lawyers, I like it. Let's hope lawyers are litigious. But anyway, there you go. Aero is the new product. No doubt at some point in the future I'll be doing a podcast episode about it. But you can go from, you can go from nothing, and a few words later you've got yourself a website. Anything, Tim, Tammy, before we move on? Okie doke. Right, what have we got next? We're gonna miss that one out because we did it last week. I'm relying on Tim here. Tim is our best friend.
I'm watching Tim's face.
Yeah, I'm okay. Right, okay. No, Tim looks very happy. Let's see how it progresses. I have no conception as to the capability of this. I purely saw a link a few days ago and noticed that it was a new tool in the WordPress space. It is called Debug Hawk, and you're going to find it at debughawk.com. The strap line goes: diagnose WordPress performance issues in seconds, not hours. And then, you know, you've got the usual stuff. It goes down and breaks down all of the different bits and pieces that it can do. And I don't know what its capabilities are, but I'm going to hope that Tim knows a little bit more. Is this a recommendation, Tim, or is this something you would steer clear of? Or you don't have to be.
I'm not going to say whether you should use something or not use something. Don't want that coming round back to me. No, Ashley, who has worked on projects like Spin Up WP in the past and similar. So if you've come across that, this is his own project. I think he might be partnered with somebody. I don't know. But it is a SaaS application where you basically install like an agent onto your site, and then it will provide and surface a bunch of insights for you. If you've come across something like New Relic, or think of it sort of like a little bit of a combination of New Relic meets Query Monitor by John Blackburn.
Right.
It looks very pretty. The graphs look very pretty. And that's where I haven't used it. I have seen it. I have followed some of the development of it. When you go down to that pretty dashboard, it looks pretty dashboard. It's got a nice dark mode. It looks pretty. There's green things and stuff. How useful that will be for you very much depends on your use case. I've not seen anything about its alerting capabilities. I've not seen anything about how it does the integration. So at the moment, it's one to keep my eye on. When I get to play with it, I might be able to come back in with a 2 thumbs up recommendation or not. But at the moment, it certainly looks nice. The price might put off quite a few people, I'll be honest.
So I'm showing the pricing here. I'll read it into the record in case you're just listening to it. So I'm guessing it is a SaaS app because we don't normally have WordPress plugins charging.
It is a SaaS app, I'm sure.
Yeah, thank you. So it starts at $12, goes up to like basically $300. And what you get is the number of events seems like the thing. You know, that if you do up to 100,000 things or events, as they call them, you can go in at the low tier. But if you've got a giant...
Clear, if you're pushing data, it's not you doing things, it's data being pushed in, it's number of events that are being collected. Now, my understanding is you have no control over how many events are being collected. So obviously they'll be collecting a certain number of things, but you can't like reduce down the how often it gets collected. So this might mean that you have little control over the actual pricing, and you may find yourself being overrun. For all I know, and to be clear, I have nothing to go on other than the fact that Ashley's a lovely person. It's probably really generous tier limits, but that pay to play style scenario could put a person who's maybe on a, I'm thinking more those sort of smaller agencies that tend to actually have lots of clients.
Yeah.
So if you're a small agency with 50 to 100 clients, you might look at this and go, oh, we cannot afford this. This is way out of our league. Whereas if you're a single site, maybe you're a large site, maybe a large e-commerce site, where this might be the perfect tool for you. You might be getting that diagnostic information that you want out of it, and you're getting through. The other couple of things is obviously do due diligence as to where the data is being kept, because there's various laws and legislation on that data. You have, because it's surfacing data that's from places like the database and what queries are being stored, and there's getting data from logs, all of that is probably privileged information that you do not want to necessarily be passing to the wrong data center for your country.
There is a config, or rather there's a doc section at the top. It will explain that there appears to be some kind of aspect of it, which is a WordPress plugin. That's no surprise. And then information about how it all works and what have you. So yeah, go and check it out. But I guess the interesting bit here is it's from somebody, at least in your experience, Ashley. I don't know Ashley, but they have heritage in the WordPress space. So it's definitely worth maybe checking out. Yeah. Okie doke. Right. Thank you. Tammy, anything on that, or shall we move on? Okay. So this is really a big change. We're going to a definitive WordPress plugin. Corey Mass, who is behind Gelform, he's often on the show. And I think it's quite nice when people have been on the show many times to sort of surface the bits and pieces that they've done. But also, coincidentally, this is right up my street. I could really make use of this. So he's come up with a plugin called Post Calendar. And it looks like it does one thing, you know, and it just leans into this one fairly straightforward thing. If, like me, you are constantly putting content out, so I put at least two, maybe four bits of content out each week, and it's a constant battle for me to know when to schedule things, because I basically want to be able to finish it, tie it off, schedule it, and then move on. But because I've got this cadence where it comes out every Tuesday, every Thursday, and then various different bits and pieces in between, I'm constantly trying to juggle when to do things. And a calendar interface for WordPress posts and when they're going to go out would be really great. And that's what he's built. It's called Post Calendar by Gelform. And it's exactly what you'd imagine. You create a post, you schedule it at some point in the future, and then it appears in the calendar. But the bit which is really nice is, for me, you could reschedule it by just dragging it a la Google Calendar or something like that into a different date. Or at least that's my understanding from what I read. That would be perfect for me, because in me, I just want to see a line of things every Thursday. One thing on a Thursday and another Thursday. I just want to see that everyone is full. That's kind of it. And this would satisfy that perfectly. So thank you for building that, Corey. I'm definitely going to check that one out. You know, it's probably not for everybody, but there you go. Anything on that? Probably not. No. Okay. It's on WordPress.org.
Yes, my only comment is it goes to show that there is always space for an idea in WordPress, and we often like, I wonder what, okay, then this, you find there's something that doesn't exist.
Well, the list view is really not ideal at all because it's all in this text format, which mm-hmm. is fine. And you can see the scheduled date. But when everything gets jumbled up and the dates don't follow down perfectly, you know, I know that you could maybe filter by that thing and do them in reverse order and what have you. It's still not ideal. It's ridiculous, isn't it? It will save me whole minutes a week, but it's just that nice little helpful thing. It's on WordPress.org. I love his version numbers, by the way. I don't know what's going on there. His version number is like 175 million or something. I don't know.
It's hard doing WordPress stuff, you know. Yeah. Little change here, little change there.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, he's got fewer than 10 people using it at the moment, but he's gone to 1 billion. 1 billion.
My brain just broke reading that.
So he's been committing per character.
Yeah. Yeah, I imagine he's gone to the keyboard and just gone, yeah, I don't know how that works.
Has he got a change log that we can have a quick look
know.
At?
I've got reviews
like
development.
I need to look at his change
here
log.
Here we go. The translator's net, the browser code, SVN, development log, log.
It's a timestamp, maybe.
There it is. It's a timestamp. But normally you say a version number, don't you? That's kind of interesting. Anyway, that wasn't the point. The point wasn't to discuss a great lengthy version number. The point was to mention the utility of it and how it could be useful, especially if you've got an editorial team and then you know you try not to make things collide. That would be really useful. Okay, so we're going to move away from WordPress for a little bit. We've got about, I don't know, 15 minutes or something. So if you're like me and you decided a long time ago that you really didn't want your private conversations to be in the hands, encrypted or otherwise, of some of the large companies, I'm talking about you, Facebook, with things like WhatsApp and things like that. Quite a while ago, this product came onto my calendar. It was called, calendar came under my radar. It was called Signal. And I just got all the right signals about it. I genuinely got really into the weeds about how it all works. And the founder was a guy called Moxie Marlinspike. And my understanding, having read a bit about it from people who know what they're on about, is that he's kind of over-engineered it and future-proofed it. In other words, it appears to represent some kind of gold standard of encryption and instant messaging. I don't know if that's true, but at the time it was lauded. Yeah, it was lauded. Well, let Tim have his words in there. But it certainly represented a different shift, a different pivot. It was free. It was end-to-end encrypted. And I'm not sure that a lot at the time it came out was offering that promise. The product has, I guess, matured. Moxie's moved away. It's available. You know, I think a certain proportion of people have leaned into it. It's not got any of the traction that things like WhatsApp have for obvious reasons, because it's a standalone app. But one of the big problems of it was taking it from one device to another, because there was really no mechanism to do that seamlessly. Like if you knew what you were doing and you read the documentation, there were ways to make it so that your new phone would ingest stuff from the old phone, but it always required you to have the phones both available and switched on and to follow the steps and what have you. And in quite a few cases, I imagine people will not follow those steps and then realize that their entire history of stuff has gone away. So they've introduced the first paid thing inside their ecosystem, and it's called Backups, Secure Backups. And I'm just letting you know that it's a thing. If, like me, you lean into Signal, you can now pay to have a repository of data. I'm not sure where it's stored or how it's stored or what have you. But anyway, right, over to you, Tim. Debunk it. Tell me I'm wrong.
I mean, let's just go back to the first bit where you started with, I really like Signal because it was a secure and it was keeping my chats private, and I it was all nicely decentralized. You really read into everything to learn all about it. And then you finished that line with, I don't know where any of this is stored. I don't know how this works.
No, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
And that is the difference between Signal then and Signal now.
Oh, go on.
Well, just that Signal is a company now. Signal is Signal, I think, originally started off as a non-profit organization.
It definitely was, yeah.
Signal is a company now, and it needs to make money. Mm. And so the way it's making money is by taking the reason you couldn't have Signal backups previously is that the key was hard-coded as part of your hardware to the device. So it was associated with the device. So when you backed up and tried to use it on a different device, the encryption key used components of the device itself as part of the decrypting process.
Got it.
So the you couldn't have two phones. You could move your key from one phone to the other phone, but it wouldn't work because the phone didn't match, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So to get a backup system working, at some point we have to break that.
Okay. I'm not going to use Signal anymore now. That's it. It's over. That relationship is gone.
I'm not suggesting that you use Signal, but the article does sort of half explain how they're getting around this. You know, it has all the right privacy sounding words, but when you start thinking about it, you're like, but fundamentally, these chats used to work in a very specific way that used a very specific set of ways that was well documented and open and you could see and read and understand. And this is an opaque black box that they wish to charge you for.
Okay. Damn it. Okay.
There's nothing wrong with Signal itself, and I use Signal all the time. In fact, okay, you and me chat via Signal. So.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. I'm a big fan. I hadn't made the connection. They're not gonna go out blowing the trumpets about their sort of company status and things like that, are they?
It does say as a non-profit they refuse to collect or sell your data, but I'm fairly confident that Signal has a company behind it these days.
I think you're right. I think that's true.
I've seen it somewhere. I mean, if I'm wrong, then I apologize in advance. But it still doesn't solve the initial thing, which is fundamentally the way to get the backups to work, you have to break stuff. At which point,
yeah, the okay. So here's the key: never throw your phone away. Keep it going for the next 40 years of your life. Just keep that phone going.
Isn't that security risk?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, no, there's no. This stuff's hard though, isn't it? This stuff is really hard because they're in a marketplace where they're trying to get traction against companies like WhatsApp and things like that, who they're just ubiquitous and everywhere, aren't they? I think the promise is really hard to deliver.
The only secure thing is that tin can with a bit of string on it that you might want to...
No, because even that, you could actually... I don't know if you'd ever did this as a kid, but you can intercept the messages on a tin can string. Because you can put a clamp on the string midway through, and then you have a second string.
Don't ruin the childhood.
No, let's just keep Tim. Let's just be clear. You're the only child that did that.
You are the only child.
Nobody else did that. Everybody just marvelled that it worked. You were there with a clamp in the middle.
Yeah, the children were wandering around with clamps, putting them on children, listening on.
I think that's brilliant, though. I love it.
Right, fair enough.
That's great.
Have you thought about how insecure this is? A little Tim in the playground.
That speaks to your credentials, though, Tim. I think next time you talk about yourself in any sort of online security setup, you need to mention that Tim
was the kid with a clamp in the playground.
Okay. Well, we did that in my flight, Dan.
Yeah. Anyway, there you go. So it's maybe not as secure as you thought it was, but Signal, which is my go-to thing. I in the day tried to get every family member and extended family onto
How's that
Signal.
Going now?
It's fine. They all have adopted it, and it's become a channel.
Now they might not be secure.
Well, they only use it for me. I am literally the only person. So if they want to communicate with me, it goes through Signal because that's just what I've got. Because I don't have things like WhatsApp on the phone.
Would you change? Would you tell them though that it's been changed?
Yeah, I probably would, to be honest. There's no point in trying to sort of pull the wool over anybody's eyes. But I do have this kind of rose-tinted.
That's also the thing. Now you've got to explain it to people that.
I'll just get Tim to do it. I'll invite Tim over for a coffee.
It's like when
coffee.
You put a clamp on a bit of string.
I mean, the thing is, the Signal had its place and still does. It's still a perfectly good chat thing. I think we need to accept that if you're sending the sort of things that you're going to be sending, if you accept that messages are transitory and that they only exist while you're sending them, then this becomes a lot easier to accept that, hey, if I lose my device, I lose my chats. You've not lost your contacts.
Yeah.
You can still log in. You just lose the history of those chats. And that's fine. And as long as it's when we want to have that world where it's like we want to preserve everything and keep everything safe. And we want the utter privacy that comes with it. Well, that's where we get those clashes. So
I kind of like that things change and like I lose things and stuff. I don't know, maybe it's me and but I kind of like that. Like I like the clean slate and I like the you choose what you save rather than you're just like dragging these giant archives around like some kind of boulders around the internet. That
no, I want the giant boulder archive. I want all of it going back.
Yeah, but that is not like that is not sustainable. Think of the trees. Think of the puppies.
Oh. Okay. A few years ago, I went through a mental shift where I went. It was Shrove Tuesday, so pancake day. And I was going through my messages looking for the pancake recipe that I had been sent many years previously that was the pancake recipe that always worked. And was like, I do this every year. One day a year, this is every year. And I went copy, paste into my notes.
Yes.
And now
that's what I'm brilliant for. Yeah. Save the thing properly, tag it. The thing we don't do anymore is tag it so that you can do a proper search on the things you really care about.
Okay, so it's ephemeral. It's kind of a disappearing medium.
Be okay with ephemeral. Yeah. Be okay with stuff. The amount of times that I've lost blog posts, that's still okay. Like the important ones have stayed.
I'm struggling with that whole thing. I love the idea of things that I've done. I don't know. It's like photography
to me
almost. You're
going to forget them eventually.
That's the backlog of photography. So I'm no good at photography, but I take lots of pictures and that they kind of fit into the same class of thing. You know, it's like a moment in time. It's like a snapshot. And especially the ones with my like parents who are now quite elderly, there's something wonderful about going back many years and reading the little exchange to and fro. You know, I don't really wish to keep signal messages that were about nothing, like, you know, Dad, where's the, you know, can you come and collect me from such and such a place? No. But I guess it's all or nothing.
I think it depends on the person. So for me, I'm kind of like probably a super minimalist. I really am. Like I would quite happily like backpack and then whatever. But I'm really on an extreme, but that's okay. Like, nobody has to be in me. But that is, I am, what I now am in a position is there are certain key things that I do want to hold on to, of like, not pancake recipe necessarily, but recipes or things that are key to me. Photography to me is an interesting one. Because I kind of like the fact that I don't have everything because of the sheer amount of photographs I've produced.
Yeah.
I could never search through them. And I don't know, although rediscovering my old music lately, I have enjoyed and I can keep the old music.
Yeah.
But what I've enjoyed is the stuff that was tagged properly and indexed properly.
That's a profound difference between you and I, because I bet you use Obsidian.
Yes.
See, I can't be bothered with any of that. I want a flat structure. I want my data because I have no need in the way my life.
Obsidian is part of one of my processes.
Yeah, but I have to need to sort of make everything connected with everything else. So as an example, the signal chat, let's say with my mom, just it. The fact that it just goes back in time, forwards in time, that's enough for me. So my mom's chat is one thing. And then when I save documents, I don't really do the whole tagging thing because I don't really need to. Everything for me is kind of here today, gone tomorrow, but I'd like a copy of it. Anyway, we're running out of time.
No, I was going to say, that's fine. What you want is iMessage.
Maybe.
An Apple, and just live in a world that's just...
I don't have an Apple phone. Do I need you need an Apple phone for that,
don't
you?
Well, what I meant was you have, therefore, a platform that has collected all that data. Maybe it could be Google, it could be Apple, but that's what they're trying to give you, that unified, I have a spotlight bar, I open it up and it will show me their photos.
I think you're right. Yeah, I think you're right.
That is going to always be a conflict with a privacy first. I siloing everything. So once you start siloing things and putting them in gates and locks, well, if we lock something up, we've got a key and we will eventually lose the key.
Yeah.
There were boxes that I
and
had
I locked
in my
obsidian, so my obsidian is locked to myself. So if I actually forget my vault, I'm done. Like and things
yes.
like that.
Yeah,
right.
Which is why I have two vaults. One that is my
very so only room. Two would be my question to you because I have more than two vaults.
I have a very public, not a public as in it's exposed on the internet, but one that is but isn't locked down and isn't locked. Mm. That specifically has information that I write or important stuff like stuff. And then I have a more private one that has, you know, secure and important things I need to know, like how to fix my car. That goes obviously in the really private vault, and my public vault is full of useless things like cat photos.
I think they have like five or six useless. Vaults at the moment.
I think we should have this as an entire episode. Like how deep can you go into the weeds?
I'm not too bad for.
Yeah. Right, I'm going to move us on quickly because we're running out of time. That we had a variety of different things. I'm just going to get rid of most of them, and we'll just go to this one because I like this one. Which is the Ig Nobel Awards. So this is lovely. Every year, we obviously have the Nobel Prizes, and somebody many years ago decided to set up the Ig Nobel Awards. Get it? It's kind of, yeah, bit of a play on words, although not quite. But each year, some panel decide on the most, what's the word? Bizarre use of research time.
Creative.
And so they surface people who've been doing interesting things. But, you know, if you're outside of that little community that's doing that, it seems quite weird. They are presented by actual Nobel Prize winners. So that's kind of fun. But I just thought I'd give you some of the things that have been under the microscope this year, because they're great. So recipients of the award this year were received. So I'm not going to name names or anything like that. I'll just the thing that they got it for, because it's fascinating. The first one that I want to mention is somebody carried out research to find out whether painting a cow with zebra stripes would reduce the amount of fly bites it received. I mean, if you're a cow, I mean, this is just like manna from heaven.
It's an essential study.
Exactly. Okay, but this one's curious. So somebody else did some research trying to figure out...
why did they not try it on humans first?
I don't know why.
As someone that always gets bitten by mosquitoes, I'm up for trying.
I mean, I suppose the thing is, how many humans are realistically going to want to be painted like a zebra?
I'm up for trying. I get really bitten by mosquitoes. I would be well up for trying.
But there's a picture on the website that I'm going to link to, which actually has a painting. Cow, but they don't tell us what the results were. I want to know now whether it was positive or negative.
Yeah, and there's a pit on the picture, just got this circle saying biting flies, which is
I love it. Yeah, it's like so unscientific. I love the fact that the body is a perfect rectangle.
And leg.
Yeah, leg. Biting flies. I think it's a bit of jokes. Then another one was whether pizza toppings, which pizza toppings were preferred by lizards.
That's
very
proud
important.
If you're a lizard.
Very important to know. Another study was carried out to see if there was a link between using the smartphone whilst on the toilet hemorrhoids.
The thing is, that one worries me because that implies that someone had to think about that long enough. It was like they've never doom scrolled in their life don't recognize it.
And actually carry out the research. You know, you can't identify hemorrhoids without identifying hemorrhoids. Moving on. Another one was the prize, the literature prize, was for recording and analyzing the growth of the person. So the person that was doing the research analyzed their own fingernail growth for 35 years. Yes. What the heck? Then the pediatrics prize was for work looking into the experience of nursing a baby whose mother eats garlic. I can't even parse that in my head. I don't
That's
even
how
know
you
what...
get the next Buffy.
Okay. It's like a vampire thing. Okay, that at least anchors it somewhere for me. The psychology prize was for looking into what happens when you tell a narcissist or anybody else that they're intelligent. Chemistry prize was awarded for experimentation with eating Teflon to find out whether or not it could be used to boost food volume and satisfy people's appetite. that's kind of interesting, I suppose. Yeah, okay. Who's going to eat Teflon, though? Right, we're nearly out, but another few. Whether or not drinking alcohol can improve people's ability to communicate in a foreign language. I think we all know that we think that that's what happens, but anyway, only a couple more. Somebody else explored how foul-smelling shoes affect the good experience of using a shoe rack. And last couple, the aviation prize was gone.
Just want to use a shoe rack.
I don't know. I don't even know what that means, but somebody got paid to do that research. The aviation prize was for their work.
Is there a communal shoe rack?
I don't know. These questions need answering, don't they? You see, now we're all sucked into it. Now it seems tremendously important. What kind of shoe rack? Was it a big shoe rack, a little shoe rack? It's expensive. The aviation prize.
Oh, God. Do you have to sneak in?
Big shoe rack. Comes in like a hallway. Did you have to go past the shoe rack?
The volume of the room.
Yeah.
Honestly, if you'd have asked me which one of them you were going to drill into, it wasn't the shoe rack one. But there you go. The aviation prize was for looking into the effect of alcohol consumption on bats' abilities to fly. Okay. And finally,
Hang on. Did they get the bats drunk?
I don't know. Yeah, they must have done, right? They must have. I mean, that seems slightly unethical.
Presumably you get a pipette and some rough things, just sort of like
you just give them fermented fruit or something like that. You know.
So what does a bat drink?
Like gin.
I'm Bloody Mary.
Yeah, mate. Oh, that was good. Ka-ching. That was the best bit. The physics prize, final one. The physics prize was given for studying pasta sauce to see if it was possible to avoid, I'm going to use the exact phrase, clumping. I have no words.
That was just simply somebody from the physics department trying to explain why they were expensing their trip to Florence.
Yeah. And yet, this is what people unpleasant. That's got to be the name of the title of this podcast, hasn't it? Unpleasant clumping.
Oh,
No, I'm going for unpleasant clumping. I love that. Okay, so there you go. Now you know. You too can look back on your life and think, why have I wasted it? Why was I not a research scientist thinking about shoe racks?
I, many years ago, was sitting in an event for the university, and we were basically talking about various research that we were doing, and there were different research groups, and it was like speed dating, but for various groups, and I got partnered up with somebody who was looking at the curvature of the letter C.
What?
And they were doing their PhD was going to be in the curvature of the letter C, and I joked to them, that's great, that sounds like you can get 25 more PhDs out of that. And they just looked at me and went, what?
Oh, no, you got the whole numeral thing to go with as well. There's another 10 years.
So ever since then, I've realized that no, you could study just about any old.
Yeah. But what happens when somebody like comes with a differently curved C and like shows you
and
look,
you write
I can do
another
my
paper
C, like,
on it. This was the same as when I was at art college and I realized you could just pretty much write an art paper on anything and justify it and call it art. There's a level of academic that you just don't want to dig too deep into if you actually want to finish your course.
I think these are the people who then go on to create spamming SEO websites.
They got funding and we didn't. Yeah.
For the letter C. Okay. Yeah. Well, on that bombshell, we don't need to do any waving this week, which is quite nice because we've already done the waving. So it only remains for me to say, firstly, thank you if you were in the comments giving us a little bit of a heads up, you know, posing some questions.
I think we might have lost a few people.
Well, always at the end when you get onto the Ig Nobel Prize, they drop off like flies on zebras that are painted like zebras. Thank you to firstly Dave Gray for joining us, although not for the entire show, but also thanks to Tim and thanks for Tammy as well for joining us. We will see you. I guess I'll see you on Wednesday at some point. But stick around. We can have a chat after this show has ended. Thanks for making comments. And we will be back next week for another edition of This Week in WordPress. Take it easy and we will see you soon. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.